This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. When you think about Southern comedy, something like this might come to mind.
If you have a complete set of salad bowls and they all say Cool Whip on the side, you might be a redneck.
Right, that's not the only way to do it. My next guests are tired of shallow punchlines about rednecks that give Southerners a bad reputation. Comedians Cliff Cash and Tom Simmons are calling their Sick of Stupid comedy tour A Voice of Reason with a Southern accent. They're using stand-up to talk about racism, religion, and homophobia. It's a way to show that not all Southerners are the backward stereotypes as seen on TV. Cliff and Tom perform with fellow comedian Stuart Huff tomorrow night and Saturday at Bourgie Nights in Wilmington. And they will perform in Greensboro and Asheville later this month. But first, they join me on The State of Things. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Frank.
Hello, Cliff. Good to have you. Hello, Cliff.
Thanks, Frank.
Cliff, let me start with you. Tell me about this, about the theory. There is a theory here. I hate to use theory and comedy in the same sentence, but there we go. What's behind this tour?
Well, I think you summed it up really well. This is the type of comedy that all three of us do. You know, we all try to discuss the issues and sort of be a progressive voice and point out the absurdity in some of those dated mindsets. And we all happen to be Southerners. And I just felt like that combination was something that was a little bit unique and that we could sort of turn it into a genre and something that is kind of important. I feel like it's needed, and I feel like intelligent, forward-thinking Southerners are ready for that type of comedy and are kind of misrepresented and underrepresented in comedy and really in popular culture and media in general.
Tom, so. You've been doing stand-up for quite a while now. Have you seen the perceptions of the South change? I think you've been doing stand-up for, what, about 20 years now?
Yes, sir, I have. I just really just do my jokes and travel around and try to tell them. You know what I mean? In the South, there is some sort of – there's a surprise in people when they hear a Southern accent and then it's not talking the way they're used to it and saying the things that they're used to it saying. You know, it's weird to like be in New York City and say y'all and the crowd laugh. And it's like, you guys speak 87 languages here and y'all is the one that throws you? It's a more efficient word, first of all, so shut up.
It is a far better way to distinguish between the plural. I think so. Well, Cliff, you do some of that too, though, in your humor. I mean, in a way, there's a lot of the humor that embraces the Southern redneck, and then but you sort of hold him up to ridicule, but you then embody that character and characterize him even in your voice, right?
Yeah, I think that some of the stuff that I say on stage, I honestly wouldn't feel comfortable saying it unless I was in a character. And I want it to be so absurd and so out there that there's no way anyone could miss the sarcasm. And But they do, which is heartbreaking to me.
Yes,
that only happened one time that we know of. That fellow was really hurt.
That's my question. My next question is, who comes to these things? Do people – I mean, it's sort of the Archie Bunker syndrome, if you remember that. I mean, a lot of people were watching that show, All in the Family, because they were rooting for Archie. He was speaking for them. I wonder how many people go to your shows thinking that you are the redneck comedy tour.
They're not.
Very,
that's the
very
thing.
Little. Very, I don't think that happens much. I think we've done a pretty good job of kind of branding and promoting this thing as what we want it to be, and we've done a pretty good job of attracting the types of audiences.
Dude,
that
I love your reference, by the way, Frank, because I use that all the time when I describe, like, in my own family, I feel like, or in North Carolina, I feel like a meathead in a state filled with Archie Bunkers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not really many people get that reference, but
because you're old.
Yeah, but the fact is, what Cliff is saying and what we're sort of doing is there's a lot of us. You know what I mean? Even the election comes, there's even if we get our butts kicked on every issue, there's still like a 40% of these people in North Carolina or in all the South. And so we're not alone. So it's cool when we do these shows. I've had 20 years, and so is Stuart, of sort of fighting the crowd, or telling jokes about these subjects to a crowd that's sort of resistant to them, and we're the contrarian. And now these other meatheads are coming out to our shows, and it's just a whole different feel of, oh wow, they We're not fighting them. They agree with us. And so then we can go a little bit further even. Sometimes you have to pull back in comedy so you don't lose the crowd. And we sort of have this crowd. It's a unique feeling. It is working. That's what – I was a total pessimist that this wouldn't work. Wow. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Nobody – you've just named the liberal Southern comedy. That's the three things that are going to keep people away from comedy. Right.
Plus there are nine of them. So, you know, once we play to them, we're out of money. Yeah. And I guess the Meathead tour came in second in terms of what you're going to name this thing, right? That's too bad.
Yeah, that was the wrong message. Only old people like Tom get that right.
I want to give everybody a little sample of what we're talking about and do it kind of in the club environment. So I'm going to play a clip of you, Cliff, with your satirical prayer. Let's listen.
Lord, I just want to thank you for Kim Davis in Kentucky, Lord, that she was able to just keep laser focused on what's truly important. That despite 21,000 children dying every day of starvation, Kim is able to really stay on track for your work, Lord, which is keeping people who love each other from having marital rights. And just put your protective blanket shield over her.
Cliff Cash performing as part of the Sick of Comedy Tour tomorrow.
They don't know he's not serious because he comes out in that character and just starts. And you can, like, as he starts to do it, you can see him like, oh, okay, good. This is like a character.
People are pretty unsure at first, but it gets more and more ridiculous. And then they're like, oh, this guy's kidding. Thank goodness.
Yes, I had my head bowed. Well, you do that other one too. And I don't know how much of this you can pull up, but the idea of kind of stupid TV shows that people like that are kind of mundane. And they're very popular, you know, shows about truck drivers and people who cut down trees. And again, you kind of do it in this voice of this guy is trying to make it sound great. And kind of in the process, you can hear him running out of steam. It's great stuff. Can you do some of that? I don't know. I don't want to make you do this on demand, but it's a kind of a nice bit where the kind of reality TV shows about truck drivers and tree cutters. Cool stuff.
Yeah, so I set it up as sort of a scene, and it's like I say, I just picture two redneck buddies sitting on the couch together, and one guy's like, hey, man. Have you seen this? It's called, I think it's called Trucking Show. And these dudes, what they do is they drive these trucks. And they're big old trucks, like 18-wheeler trucks. And they drive the trucks, okay? That's what they do. They drive them, like on the road and everything. And they drive the trucks, right? And and then they get off, and that's pretty much the end of the show. But, man, it's really my best. It's my favorite show. I can't sleep on Wednesdays if I don't watch a truck driving show. I'll flip it back. Flip it back. This one's good, too, man. This is called the tree cutting show.
What do they do?
They cut down trees is what they do. It's incredible. And they cut them down all the way onto the ground and everything.
Can you hear it?
You can hear them fall because you're a person.
All right.
And then they get them and they put them on these trucks and they truck them. Now, it might be the fellas from the trucking show. I'm not 100% sure. Say, last week I thought they was going to let Ricky go because he took the clipboard out of Bulldozer. They didn't let him go, man. Ricky's a damn good tree cutter, man. Ricky's a damn good tree cutter. That guy drinks more Mountain Dew than I've ever seen in my life.
You then do an entire riff on Mountain Dew, but I want to stop you there, Cliff Cash, along
yes,
with Tom
you.
Simmons.
Save it for the show,
Fran. Stuart Huff is going to perform at Bourgie Nights in Wilmington. Then they're going to be in Greensboro and Asheboro. No, they're going to be in Asheville later this month.
Asheville.
You could be in Asheboro. You could perform at the zoo, and that would – you see how you go there.
We could.
That'd be great. So, Tom, I want to also take you back into the club now because I know you talk about politics, and we'll hear some of your material that has political reference. Let's play some of Tom Simmons' stuff.
We got an election. That maybe help things. It's a crazy election. I've been watching it, man. I'm telling you, this is close, right? Any one of these candidates could be the dumbest, right? I don't know which one it is. I think Jeff Foxworthy should host the next debate. They just play a big game of, are you smarter than a fifth grader? And then the 14 of them that aren't, sorry, you're out.
Tom Simmons is part of the Sick of Stupid Comedy Tour at Bougie Nights in Wilmington. Going to be there soon and all across the state, Greensboro and Asheville as well. So, Tom, now, politics is funny for everybody. I mean, can you sort of pick on both sides? Can you be an equal opportunity basher?
Yes, I feel like I can. The Republicans make it a lot easier, in my opinion, because I disagree with them plenty. But, yeah, I mean, I watch the Democratic debate. I'll go after Hillary or Bernie. You know, like this Bernie thing keeps going on, and I can't figure out if this is like a a generation of people that just has hope and they just really believe, or if it's we have a generation of people raised on participation trophies that doesn't recognize what losing looks like, you know? So, but I like Bernie, you know what I mean? I love that he speaks truth to power. Right? That's how I knew he wouldn't get elected, to be honest with you. Because we're not – it's like he's – it's weird how he's the crazy person. Like, of course, yeah, he's a nut job. He wants to give us free education and take money – some money out of the military and help make people have health care and worry, do like smart things for the environment. And we're like, well, he's crazy. And then the guy that lies every 5 minutes, we're like, he's the truth teller. That's what I love about him.
You know what I hate about Bernie is the 40 years of 70% approval ratings and no scandals.
Yeah.
I just – he's not my guy. I can't get behind that. I want some murder, scandal, fraud, embezzlement. Kind
of Hillary. That should be her slogan, Clinton 2016, because that's just the number of scandals in my past.
What about your –
about a personality so magnetic it can erase a hard drive.
Tom's got a line. He says, Hillary Clinton, a personality so magnetic it can erase a hard drive. No one is exempt from our attacks.
What do you deny?
Yeah,
you
get to a state like it's more about going after the ideal. Like, I'm political, but I dislike them both. I don't trust them. It comes down to money.
But
you know,
it really
just
has
like for
moved.
This with this gun thing, just like Holt Wright's going on. This is they say follow the money. Well, the money is the arms industry. They have the same playbook all over the world: create violence and fear and sell weapons to people. And they're doing it here. It's nothing personal. It's just our economy. You know, it's just that's what happens.
Well, and when you get to a state like North Carolina, which is just full of yucks, and you've got HB2, and again, to see how far to the right the right has moved. I mean, it has become an extremist party now. You've got these people speaking things that could not have been spoken 4 to 10 years ago and being taken seriously. Now the extreme is the center. And what do you do with that? And what about North Carolina? Do you have a kind of a special little trove that you can preview for us?
I think it's terrifying to come to the realization that we literally are digressing as a state and really I think as a country, at least in the South. And I think a lot of that is Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, and Fox News controlling.
They're just more organized, man. They're just more organized, and they're
doing a great job.
Right.
I mean, I wish they'd stop, but wow, they're good.
Well, they see
North Carolina, like the transgender thing, for instance, like the people that are canceled their shows. If you have one of those tickets, you can use it to come into our show.
Yeah, we're offering free admission to anyone with a ticket canceled because of HB2. So.
Well,
Pearl Jam, Bruce Springsteen, or if you're the CEO of PayPal and you decided to pull billions out of our state because of bigotry, you're welcome too.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get this whole – we got to ban transgenders from the – as long as we're banning people from bathrooms, why don't we start with the rednecks who write on the stalls about how much they hate Nigers? You know what I mean? These idiots got to go, right? They're literally saying,
or
I don't want to go
spell.
In there if they're going to let a woman come into the bathroom. Why? Are you worried you can't wash your hands next to a woman? Are you worried she's going to have a bigger penis than you? It doesn't make any sense to me. They believe these myths about people that are going to be attacking people in the shower room. Who even says shower room? It's not even a real thing. What are you talking about? I don't understand how, like you're saying, they've become extremists about myths. How are Christians believing a myth? I don't understand that.
Wait a minute.
Stay tuned. Exactly.
Stay tuned. But you know, and it is kind of interesting too. You almost wonder how you can even make it funny if you talk about somebody who is going to protect our safety in the bathroom and can't even mention gun control after the hundreds of people that have been killed in this country, thousands by guns. You kind of wonder, how do you even? Where's the? Because common sense would tell you that the country with the least gun control and the most homicides by far, that's a common sense correlation. Yet. You know, where's the joke? How do you even make it?
Sometimes try to say the wrong thing to forget, you know, whatever. Like, you know, welcome to America. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where if you hear somebody's active, it's probably a shooter. You know, it's like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, so you try to. My first reaction after a horrific experience, to be honest with you, is to write the joke. I don't know why my mind works that way. You could tell me, Tom, your mom is having kidney failure, and I'll immediately be like, oh my God, I'll start praying immediately that I'm not an organ match. You know, that's.
Well, then do you have to? I mean, are there jokes that you write? That, you know, it's like in the aftermath of a horrific event that you say, okay, I got that out of my system. I can't possibly deliver that on stage. Does that ever happen?
Not for Tom.
Yeah,
probably for me a little bit.
I tend to go the other way and then try it. and then sort of start to figure out how to mold the bit around it. You know what I mean? Because normally I try to come up with a with an angle, you know, and to sort of prove my point on it, you know. And then so I'll whatever it is. Like with this, if I want to go after like gun manufacturers or how people have become extremists, I'll just start to make those parallels. You know, when there's 52 toddler shootings in the United States every year, it's like, well, what the, you know, that's a horrible thing, you know, but we obviously need to do something. There's 52 toddler related shootings in our country every year.
Doesn't happen anymore.
And still this president refuses to call them preschool extremists. I'm telling you, this Obama, he's a secret toddler. We obviously need to get the FBI involved because our current baby monitors aren't working, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
so
you know,
it's
he
like
was
you go on that road.
Few
how you
people
go,
know,
you know
this, but he was actually born as an infant.
Right. Yeah.
Hardly anybody even talks about that.
That's, really
that's
good.
Why he's that's keeping
it. Frank just wrote you a text.
Go ahead, steal this joke.
Thanks,
steal
Frank.
This joke. That's fine with me. You know, I've only got about 30 seconds left, but Tom, you've actually taken on the banks. This amazes me because it actually takes some knowledge. I mean, you've got to know a little bit about what you're talking about to take on the banking industry as, yeah, these guys are the criminals. You got it. But do people get those jokes when you like take the banks on?
I took my time to really figure out how to do it. Yeah, well, because I just go to the core. There's no real – it comes down to the money, and our money is made up, and it's not backed by anything, and we owe all this money to a private – the Federal Reserve Bank is a private for-profit company. You know what I mean? How is that – like, they're like, wow, that's your business model? You own the money? Yeah, isn't that cool? We just make it up out of nothing, and then we sell it to you at interest. Wow, that sounds profitable. And then I just – you know, like the people that are on the money were against the Federal Reserve system. Jefferson was against it. Jackson was against it. Lincoln and Franklin were against it. And they're on the money. That's an insult to their legacies. It's like putting Mother Teresa's face on condoms and passing them out of Planned Parenthood.
Tom Simmons, along with Cliff Cash, are going to perform with fellow comedian Stuart Huff tomorrow on Saturday at Bougie Nights in Wilmington, Greensboro, and Asheville later this month, part of the Sick of Stupid comedy tour. Cliff, Tom, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Frank.
Thank
awesome.
You. We really enjoy talking to your audience.
Good to have you with us. You can find out more about their tour and their visits around the state of North Carolina at our website, stateofthings.org. It's produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Sheldon Ormond. Robin Copley's our technical director, Brent Wolf, WNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.